Are you ready to cheat on your wife? No, I'm not talking about that kind of cheating. I'm talking about gaining an unfair advantage on how to understand your wife better, love her deeper, avoid unnecessary arguments, and even have more sex with her. That's right. Based on the success of our Marriage Secrets for Men boot camps, we're finally sharing the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men with the public. This is the quick reference must-have go-to guide for husbands and wannabe husbands that can help stack the odds in your favor. The Bible tells us to live with our wives in an understanding way. Well, the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men is your shortcut to doing that. So you'll learn 4 questions you can ask your wife in every argument to avoid future arguments. You'll learn the 45 questions you can ask her to learn and master her heart. 50 ways to love your wife better. 6 things you can say to her to manage her response before you damage her emotions. 10 things you can do right now that will lead to more sex. 8 ways to get her to stop ignoring you, even 49 ways to have more meaningful conversations with your wife, and much, much more. See, this is the manual every divorced man wishes he had before he got married. Well, at least I did. And I'm so God confident that the Marriage Cheat Sheet will become one of the most valuable referred to resources in your marriage library, that if you don't think so, just send it back for a full refund. Trust me, next to our Marriage Secrets for Men Bootcamp, this will be the 2nd best investment you'll ever make in your marriage. Now, to get your copy of the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men on sale for a limited time only, just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the store button. That's realmenconnect.com. In my book, Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me, on page 117, I write, "The love of money can be the root of evil or the root of opportunity, based on your values and your motives." And the couple you're about to meet, Scott and Bethany Palmer, are here to prove it. They're affectionately called the Money Couple, and they're the authors of the 5 Money Personalities, speaking the same love and money language. And I can't wait for you to meet them so they can change your mind about money, marriage, and how we talk about it. Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. And today we have with us, we have 2 guests for the price of 1, Scott and Bethany Palmer. And they're going to join us today to talk to us about a very touchy subject, and it's the topic of money. And Scott and Bethany are the co-authors of the 5 Money Personalities, speaking the same love and money language. And they are regulars on national TV and radio. They speak internationally about love and money. And with 38 years of combined financial planning experience, they're known as the Money Couple, and they have dedicated their lives to helping couples bring their love and money together. They both live in Colorado, and they have 2 young sons, Cole and Cade. And I asked them to join us on the Real Men Connect podcast today to not only talk to us about their book, The 5 Money Personalities, but also about marriage, money, and communication. And I can't wait to share it and talk to them about it. So guys, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us. It's great to be with you.
I'm glad that you guys are with me. And you know, typically I was telling you, Bethany, before we came on that we rarely have women on the show, but when we do, we get a great response from our men. And I tell you, it's even a better response when we have couples. That means that Scott can't hide. All right. So
I love
it. You can call him out.
That is awesome.
And so we're excited about both of you guys being on the show. And now, Bethany, we're not going to show any favors. We're going to treat you just as if you're any guy on the show. And we always ask our guys, we always ask the guys when they come on the show to share with us their favorite Bible verse that gives them inspiration from the Word of God, that maybe just in this particular season in your life. And Bethany, we'll start with you, and then we'll let Scott share his Bible verse and tell us why it's so inspirational to you.
Well, one of the things that I grew up with was worrying. I worried a lot. my mom shared this verse with me, and it's always meant so much to me, and I just hold on to it. But that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And a simplified version of it is, don't worry about anything. Mm-hmm. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. And that's played its way out in a number of ways, but as of late, it's been, don't forget to thank him for his answers, because I don't always necessarily like his answers, right, but they're always the best for me. And that verse has just meant so much to me over the years. But as I get older, it's the second part that I've had to work on applying.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can relate to that, too. That's one of my Bible memory verses as well. Thanks for sharing that one with us, Bethany. What about for you, Scott?
Yeah, so mine comes out of Isaiah 40, and it's 12 and 13, and it says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breath of the hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in the basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in the balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord? And for me, it's just a good check in that, you know, I'm a type A personality. Beth and I have been together working in the business world, and we have a senior in high school and a sophomore in high school. And I think for me, I try to control way too much. Mm-hmm. And I try to manage my life a little too much. And I read this verse and just remind myself, you're nothing, man. You're really not. I mean, you can't even fathom the greatness of the Holy Spirit, and you can't even imagine or have his perspective. So when I'm trying to control everything and I'm burning myself out and I'm getting frustrated because this life of mine isn't moving in the direction that I think it should, or in most cases, as fast as it should, mm-hmm, I just remember that it's not mine to hold.
Yeah. You know, and Scott, I think a lot of men out there who are listening, they can relate to that scripture as well. And I don't know if it's part of our DNA, but this desire to control things and to have all the answers. And I think scriptures like that humble us to realize that. Oh, I think it was, who was it? The guy who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren.
Yeah.
He says that us trying to understand God is like a gnat trying to understand the internet.
I love that.
It's impossible. And yet we try to do it. But you guys, you know, everybody has a story, and you guys have had a lot of success with your book and what you do across the country, even internationally, speaking to large groups about this. But tell us a little bit about your backstory, like how you guys met, what made you guys decide to team up and become the money couple. And either one of you guys can tell us the story, but tell us a little, give us the highlights, the ESPN version of your backstory and how you guys came together to become the money couple.
Yeah, we'll do a quick 30-30 for you.
Okay.
the gist of it is, Bethany and I were both financial advisors, and we've always worked together as a couple. So we've owned three different companies together. So we've always worked together. And we were doing some financial advising for a couple that came into our office, and they had all the boxes checked. I mean, they were doing everything right. He was very successful in the technology world. She was an amazing mom. She was kind of a powerhouse herself. And basically, they came in for this review, and we had all the spreadsheets ready to go, and it was looking just as pretty could be. And they came in, and it was just awkward. It was just one of those times where there was so much tension in the room, you could cut it with a knife. And so
they were not in a good place.
To say the least, they were not in a good place. Mm-hmm. So we were, Beth and I were kind of staring at each other. And so finally I said, you know, do you guys need a couple minutes? I'm envisioning they probably got into a fight in the elevator on the way up to the office. I mean, I didn't know. And she just blurted out, listen, we're not here to do an account review. We're actually getting divorced and we're splitting up. Hmm. And literally then handed us the qualified domestic relations order. And so Beth and I are just absolutely stunned. We just did not expect this from this couple. I mean, this couple, we saw them on the soccer field. We would see them at church on Sundays. We were floored. And so Beth and I are kind of staring at each other, and Bethany just kind of nudged me like, you ask them, I'm not. And so I just bluntly said, why are you guys getting divorced? And the answer that they gave us changed the projection of our lives and our ministry. And what they said was, we're getting divorced over money.
Wow.
And we looked at each other like, what? You have plenty of money. Why are you getting divorced over money? So several days later, so we went home that night and we talked in depth that night. Like, what did they mean by money? So about 2 days later, I called him back and I just said, listen, man, you got to tell me or give me some examples why somebody that has so much money is getting divorced over money. So just give me one or two examples. He didn't have to give it 30 seconds. He didn't have to give it a second. He said, I'm going to give you two. The first one is coffee.
What?
That's what I said. I'm like, what do you mean coffee? He said, Scott, every morning for the last 17 years, she knows I go to the place where I buy coffee from. She knows what I spend on that cup of coffee. And every morning for the last 17 years, she hands me a thermos of coffee. And her comment is always the same. And what that is I don't understand why you stop. This is brewed at home for 25 cents. You're wasting money. Mm-hmm. And he said, I just can't handle it anymore. He said, another example is lunches. Now, if you knew this guy, you would know he has built a multi-million dollar company off lunches. It's where he networks. It's where he connects with other guys. The people that work with him are loyal to him because he does these lunches, two or three a week, where people just show up around a big round table. And it's amazing. He picks up the tab for that lunch. And his whole concept is, it's my marketing budget. Well, every night he comes home, he says, and she says, did you have a lunch today? And he says, if my answer is yes, she wants to know who showed up. How much did we spend? Did you pick up the whole check? And he goes, this has been going on for 15 years as I've built this amazing business.
I remember he also said, you know, I want to have my child go on the travel team, soccer team. She wouldn't even consider it just because of the money side of it. Wow. So it's like every day, all the time.
And so what we found in this couple was it wasn't the amount of money they have. It was the issue that they couldn't agree
right
about money. So Beth and I were big resource people. We love resources. So, man, we're online and we're looking all over the place for a resource for this couple. And what we found true was that there's plenty of resources out there to get out of debt. There's plenty of resources to pay your house off early, to have the perfect retirement, to do all these boxes that we're all supposed to check. There was nothing on how couples can communicate about money, and more importantly, why they fight about money in the first place. And as we continued to dig, what we found, this amazing survey that the Washington Post did, and they basically said they interviewed 2,500 couples that were divorced, that were leaving divorce court. And of all those 2,500 couples, 70% of those couples cited money as the number one reason for their breakup. Mm-hmm. So that just lit a fire under Bethany and I to really figure out why couples fight about money and how we can slow down and reverse this divorce rate. Because if 70% of all divorces are over money, that's the issue. It's not sex. It's not, I mean, that can absolutely be a part of it, but it's not the major reason. Mm-hmm. It's not a total lack of communication. It has to do with money. So that's why we became the Money Couple, and that's why we've dedicated the last 10 years in cracking this code.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because understanding your differences is kind of the foundational issue. And so, 5 books later and a statistical scientist helping us and assisting us to put an assessment together, the 5 Money Personality Assessment, we have now the tool and we have the secret to getting along about money. And how do you really identify and label your differences so you have a chance to be able to get along about it? If you don't have an understanding of how God made you and how you view money, he actually made your viewpoint of money inside of you. It's in your DNA. And so if you understand that and then you understand your spouse's, wow, now you have really a chance to be able to identify those differences. You know, we marry our opposites and we do that for a reason. We're attracted to our opposites. And money is no different. So most couples have some kind of opposite dynamic. That's a word that we use to describe the opposites inside of their relationship between the 4 money personalities in their relationship that are roaming around. So there's some opposite dynamic going on. And so, my goodness, when you can identify that, it is so freeing. One other thing I'll say, too, is that, you know, with all of our research and everything, we think about money more than you would even imagine. I mean, I think about this morning for myself. I mean, I had to decide, you know, are our kids going to buy lunch or are we going to make it at home? There was a money component to that decision. I went to the gas station and I decided, am I going to put high grade gas in or low grade gas? There's a money decision in that money component to that decision. And I have to decide, you know, what kind of new microphone are we going to buy? Obviously, there's a huge money component to it. So it's like every day, all the time, is your kid going to be on a travel soccer team or the Y soccer team? There's a money component to that. And we just don't realize it. We think that money decisions are all like, how much are you going to put in your 401k? Really important money decision, but there's more to money than just those financial parts. It's just that everyday talk. And that's where we're just on a mission to help couples crack the code for them and be on their way to really having a more fulfilled relationship and a more powerful one, one that can work together as a team better and therefore affect more lives, whether it's their kids' lives, each other's lives, other people's lives, because they have an understanding of their differences.
No, it's so obvious to me that you guys are such pros at this, not just the talk about money issues, but even as an interviewee of being guest on the show, because you already like allowed me to be able to tick off two other questions I was going to ask you. You already answered it within the first few minutes, which is awesome, which means I get to some of my other questions. But I'm going to, you know, but something that Scott said earlier, because you answered some questions for me, because I was going to ask you about why this book is different, why another book on money. But I think that you guys really said it the best. It's really about how to communicate about money, because when it comes down to it, you know, we can say that money is the issue, but it's how we communicate about money, or how, in this case, how we're not communicating about money. But I want to go back, because Scott said something that just jumped out at me, and it's probably going off track. But he said, you guys have always worked together. That's what he said. You guys have always worked together. Now, you guys,
even before we got married.
Really?
Yep.
And so, because my thinking is that in itself could be another show about how you work with your spouse and not kill each other.
Exactly. we've actually been on some radio programs and some podcasts about that issue, because we have some definite ideas of how we make it work and some things that we've adjusted and changed and that have allowed us to be able to work and enjoy it and still love each other so much outside of the working environment.
But, and it's definitely been a work in progress. I mean, the great thing about us working together is that we've had, you know, years where we've tried different things and they didn't work. And what I think one of the big changes that we made very early was when we got home, we were home. Mm-hmm. And so we made a rule that we weren't allowed to carry our work conversation into our dinner conversation. And so, but yeah, it's worked really well for us.
It has.
And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
No, we just absolutely love it. One of the keys there is not having a hierarchical setup in the work environment. In other words, it doesn't typically work real well when you have, like, let's just take the husband is the main person and the wife is the assistant.
Right, right.
That kind of scenario does not work well from our observations. And we've worked really hard to make sure that that would never be our setup. And oftentimes that is how couples work together. You know, one comes in to try to help. And it just doesn't, it's hard to translate that into your home life and into your marriage, because it ends up spewing out into your marriage. It's this hierarchical kind of scenario. So that would probably, if just for a quick tip in that arena, that's where we really identify.
And it makes a lot of sense, you know. But you guys also mentioned earlier that you were both financial advisors. So I'm going to put on the hat of the man out there who's listening. I'll say, okay, well, you guys have made this work in your couple and your marriage, because you both are financial advisors. I want you to take me back before you guys got married. How did you come to the realization that money is not going to be an issue that you guys were going to argue about when you came together? What kind of homes did you come from that kind of set you up for this?
Yeah. So I actually got a degree in aeronautics, And Bethany actually got a degree in education. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't, either of us, neither really, I don't think we really either anticipated going into the financial world. Here's the interesting thing. You would think that two people that did financial planning, that worked with couples and individuals, would have be on the same page about money.
Right.
And that was absolutely not the case. As a matter of fact, you would think two financial advisors would never go into debt. We went $98,000 into credit card debt.
Wow.
You would think, and we're no longer there, but and a lot of that was medical, but the reality was you would think just because you put a financial advisor hat on that we would look at each other with loving eyes and say, I totally agree on what you're doing with the business and the finances. I totally agree on what you're doing with the home finances. The reality is we didn't even talk about our finances until after we were married. And 85% of couples don't. So I know a lot of people would think, well, how could you not talk about finances before you got married? Well, that's 15% of the population. The other 85% is going, well, we didn't either. And so the interesting thing about our background and our relationship was it hasn't always been smooth sailing mm-hmm. with when it comes to our own personal financial communication. I remember we had moved into a condo and we had put a lot of work into it because it really needed it. And Bethany walked out the door with her grandma. We had been married for about 3 months, and her and Graham's went somewhere, and she turned to me and flippantly said, this kitchen is not working. Do something about it. So I, in all of my wisdom, called my twin brother, identical twin brother, who lived about a mile away, who had been married 9 months. So, of course, he knew everything about marriage and said, dude, Beth said, do something about this kitchen. What do I do? And he's like, I'm coming over with crowbars. So by the time Bethany got back, we had completely gutted that kitchen in less than 2 hours. The only thing that was left was the floor and the pipes coming out of the out of the floor. So you can only imagine Bethany's face when she walked through the door and saw that we no longer had a kitchen. But in my opinion, I had done exactly what she had asked me. I was taking care of this bad boy. So was there a financial component to that? Absolutely there was. So even as financial advisors, we've had to learn to work with our money personalities. We've had to learn to be open to the other person's opinion. And, you know, the reason most couples do kill each other when they work together is because those differences are running into each other at the office and at home. So you've got 24/7 opportunities, 24/7 hours out of the day to basically fight about money. And so the money personalities and what we've been able to teach couples, it saved our own relationship as much as it saved the people that we talked to. I was talking to a one-star general yesterday. He was in our office and we were visiting about some issues, and we were talking about just communication in relationships, even in the military. And what we were talking about was a ministry that we have at our church that is basically a direct outreach to the military, because we live in Colorado Springs. About 30% of the population is Army and Air Force mm-hmm. out here. And so we were talking about how important it is often how military witness to military, because they understand the deployments. They understand the stress on their relationships. They understand what it's like to have to move every 3 years and not put in real roots anywhere. And I would say that's the truth of most couples working together, is that money is going to be an issue no matter where you're at. What we do and what Bethany and I have gone through is we've been in the trenches in our relationship with money. That's why we have such a passion for this, because we have an awesome relationship and we don't fight about money.
And we have those opposite dynamics that we'll talk about here, I'm sure. But how it's so freeing when you can come to the other side and go, aha, and the light bulbs go on, and it's just, and you're not fighting against each other. You're working with the positive aspects of each of your money personalities. It is so freeing. And that's what we want, is we want to take this part of the relationship, fix it, help it, and then you're able to be more about God's business. And it's a pretty exciting place to be.
You know, and that's a great segue now, if I can jump into some of the about the five money personalities. Before I ask you about that, you said in your book that you guys said that talking about money doesn't always have to lead to an argument. You guys are not arguing about money anymore. You said, but it can actually be fun. I want to know, how is that even possible? That talking about money can be fun with your spouse.
It is fun, because what you're doing is you're taking the blame off of the person.
Oh, okay.
Either the blame or the discussion off of the person, and you're putting it onto the money personnel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So a great example is, let's take vacations, for example. And, you know, one person has an idea of how to do vacations, but the other person has a very different idea, and it all stems from your money personalities. So now you can make some compromises based on what your money personalities are. I know we're going to dive into them here right in just a minute, but I can give you an example of how we've used that and how we have fun with our vacation planning now versus we used to kind of butt heads about it. But it's all because we understand each other's money personalities.
Mm-hmm. You know, that makes sense. Now I get it, because usually when you're getting into the argument, there's accusations being thrown at each other, and you're blaming the other person. But yeah, now you can kind of put it off on a third on a third party, say, this is the reason why we're having this conflict. Which is great now. So, Scott, why don't you jump in and tell us about the five money personalities? Because it started with, you guys have this. First of all, how extensive is this profile to help you? Because my wife and I actually did this before we came on, but we didn't take the profile. And you guys are really on to something, because we found ourselves debating over.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for the intro. It couldn't have been better. We appreciate that, because the reason we put the assessment together, we didn't used to have the assessment, but the reason we put the assessment together is because we were finding couples were coming up to us at conferences arguing about what each other's money personalities were. And it was just like, what? This is defeating the whole purpose.
So you're starting arguments.
Exactly. So in order to eliminate that, we put this wonderful assessment together. And due to administrative costs and so on and so forth, there's a small charge to it. But the reason why we have that is because the value of what you get to really know what your primary and your secondary money personalities are. In addition to that, you get a 17-page report along with embedded videos that really explain it in depth, and it makes it really more thorough. Right. We used to just give out what your primary and secondary was, but what we were finding, and not giving the report and so forth, but what we were finding is that you would find out what they were, but you didn't really understand what that meant. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between having a label and really understanding what that label means. And we purposely made the five money personality, the descriptors of them, very simple.
Yeah.
You know, we have five of them. There's a saver who loves to save. They also love other people to save. You know, that friend of yours who can't resist telling you the price they paid for something because they got a good deal. That's the saver. The spender loves to spend, but loves to spend money on themselves, but also loves to give gifts.
Right.
So those very generous people are usually have a primary or secondary spender. The third one is a risk taker. Love to take big risks, maybe with a business, but also small everyday risks, like maybe trying a new restaurant or trying a new date night. They like new things, different. The fourth one is security seeker. They love the plan. They seek security. They love that plan in place. They don't necessarily need to save money, but they just love a plan. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth one is called a flyer. We found that a whole percentage of society really kind of flies by the seat of their pants when it comes to money. They really don't think about money the first thing in their brain when they're making a decision. They think more about relationships. Mm. My mother-in-law, she is primary flyer, secondary security seeker. So she needed a new phone, and I like technology stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to take her to go get her new phone, and we're going to spend some time together. Do you know what her response and her text to me was? I just can't wait to spend time together with you. So she is a primary flyer, and I know that about her. And I know that just going and buying a phone and giving to her is not going to mean anything compared to the time to be able to spend with her. So here's where the power of it all comes in, is you understand what your primary one is, but you also understand what your secondary one is. And we almost think that the secondary is more important than the primary.
Really?
And here's why. Yeah, it's interesting, because the arguments often come in because of the secondary. Let me give Scott and myself for as an example. So we both happen to be primary spenders. So we love to spend money. We love to give gifts. I mean, that's simple for us. But our secondary is totally opposite. I mean, I'm a risk taker and Scott's a security seeker. So like, I want to go for it. So for example, in vacations, I want to go somewhere different. I don't want to go the same place every year. Scott, his secondary security seeker, he could go to the same, you know, place every single year. And for the first 5 years of our relationship with our kids, we would head down to Orlando. And finally I said, honey, I said, I don't know if I can do it again. I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness. I think my risk taker is going into high gear and I know it's a fun time and I know it's making great memories, but I'm going nuts. I'm shriveling up. So he's like, oh my goodness, that's right. You're the risk taker. So now what we do is every year we trade off. Mm-hmm. We go to Orlando 1 year and we go somewhere different for me. Gotcha. And that's where I'm talking about where it's fun. It's not a blame thing. I'm not going, oh, give me a break. You're such a stick in the mud. Why do you right. go to the same place? No. And he's not going, you know, wondering why I've, you know, lost it because I want to go somewhere different.
Thinking you're bipolar or something, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's so fun now. It's like, oh, this is my year. And then I can be excited for his year too. And so what's happened inside of our relationship, what's been so powerful is we're able now to have some compromise, but it's not compromise to the detriment of the person. It's compromise with purpose. And it's compromise that you can be excited about because you're both fulfilling each other's needs and you're supportive of it and you're excited about it. You're not begrudgingly doing things because you're giving up yourself, if you will.
And I think the real power of the money personality assessment. So basically what we did, let me geek out on you for a minute. What we did was we took 10 years of data. We gave it to a statistical scientist at Stanford and said, how do we quantify this? Mm-hmm. So these money personalities aren't like one of those assessments that you take online to figure out what Star Wars character you're most like. It really is an in-depth look at how you view money. We've had over 300,000 people take this just organically, just from seeing us on Fox and Friends or you know, watching us, hearing us speak or watching us at a conference. Mm-hmm. And what we found is out of the 300,000, we have yet to have one person come back and say that we've got it wrong.
Right.
And I would encourage you and your wife to take it separately.
Gotcha.
I would encourage that that couples take it away from each other. Because you don't want your spouse telling you how to answer a question. You need to go off your initial first, this is who I am. And why it's so important is because what it allows you to do is get to know you. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think we do is, especially as men, is we just assume our way is the right way. We don't understand that our way can be just a different way. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that you have to understand is you have to understand yourself first. See, I'm a primary spender, which means I love gift giving. I'll give somebody a shirt off my back if that's really what they need. Mm-hmm. But where my secondary money personality is so different than Bethany is, she's a primary risk taker.
A secondary
risk taker. I'm a secondary security seeker. Mm-hmm. So I'm always seeking security. So when we used to come to me with a business idea, I would just instantly shut her down. Why? Because it's a crazy risk taker thing. Right. And I'm a security seeker and I have to see the numbers and I have to do the research. So a lot of times my type of money personality, we're the no personality. And so what happens is we shoot our spouse down without ever even listening to them when it comes to their money opinion. And over time, they stop coming to you. And over time, they have a secret credit card. They have a secret checking account and you've drifted apart. A lot of times when I hear people say, well, we just grew apart, I always think to myself, they have a secret credit card. Mm-hmm. They have a secret checking account because they just weren't heard when it came to their needs financially in the relationship. And so it doesn't mean that you give up who you are, because understanding who you are is super important, but it also lets you understand who they are. So for instance, with Bethany, she doesn't hit me at 10 o'clock at night. Hey, I've got a great idea.
Anymore,
which she used to do, which just made me nuts. What she'll do is she'll say, hey, let's go out to lunch. I want to talk to you about something, which is her code word for I have a risk-taking idea for you to contemplate. And instead of just like
like risk-taking vomiting all over me.
Right.
She says, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Would you do the research and do you think this is palatable and something we should do with our business? Well, what she's done for me as a security seeker, she's given me full rein on being able to do the research, being able to look at what's real.
Right.
And it's if it's a good idea, I'm on board. If it's a bad idea, I just say, or in my opinion is a bad idea, I just explain to her the risk that we're taking on. And then that furthers the conversation. But what I'm no longer doing is shutting down her ideas. And what Bethany and I have found in relationships so much is that if you're a saver or you're a security seeker, you're totally favored in this society. You're the responsible one. You're the one that likes to save. You're the one that doesn't risk anything. But that only literally of the 300,000 people that have taken our assessment, only 1/3 of the population fits into that category. Wow. The other 2/3 are flyers, risk takers, and spenders. So no wonder there's so much conflict in marriage, especially with 80% of all the couples and 80% of 300,000. The proof is in the pudding. This isn't stuff we're making up. This is statistical proof
right.
that we marry our money opposites. And what Bethany and I always say, and we tell all the couples that we work with, is opposites attract and then opposites attack. Mm-hmm. And that's especially true when it comes to money. So understanding who you are as a person and then understanding who you're married to is essential to an amazing, awesome relationship. Because the reality is when Bethany's bugging me, I'm thinking to myself, that's her risk taker taking off. I mean, why would you go to a new restaurant when you know the same restaurant that you've been to 2,000 times is perfect because right. they have exactly what you want. But she's a risk taker. She can't go to that restaurant anymore. So understanding when she's suggesting something isn't to annoy me. It's because her risk taker is saying, if you take me to that same restaurant one more time, you're going by yourself. And so understanding that about your spouse is so important, because often what we find is that what some of the fights that you're having, you don't even know that it's about money.
Right.
You think it's about going to a different restaurant. You think it's about going to a different vacation. You think it's about, you know, whether the kids should play club soccer or just use the local soccer program. My kids don't play soccer, so that was a terrible example. But anyways, I'm just saying those are the issues. Half the issues that we're fighting about with our significant other has nothing to do with the actual fight. It has to do with the underlying money personality bumping into each other.
I got to tell you, this is so good, man. So good. And at the same time, I'm mad and frustrated because what I'm thinking now, we should have made this interview two parts. But this is so good because I think, one, I'm going to go ahead and take the assessment as soon as I finish this interview. I'm going online.
Right.
I'm going to go do it immediately. I'm telling you, right soon as I finish this interview. But also, I think you guys have just added more years to my marriage. I really do. Okay. Because I had no idea. You know, I've heard this preacher once say, he says, if you can't say amen, say ouch. And when I'm hearing you guys talk about, I'm thinking, ouch. And so I'm going back and playing in my head some of the arguments that Ty and I have had that seem to have nothing to do with money. But now, based on what you guys are saying, there probably was money undertones that I was unaware of. This is so, so good. But Bethany, I want to ask you something. You said something that really kind of surprised me. You said that that typically that the arguments spur from the secondary languages. Now, when we did our informal, that's why I'm going to do the go ahead and do the formal assessment. My wife and I realized that we had this. Our secondary was the same. We're both spenders. We love to give, like Scott does. But our primary was different. And so I don't understand why the secondary causes more arguments than the primary. I thought it'd be the other way around. So what would you suggest to us if we have two different primaries? I'm a risk taker and she's a security seeker.
So really, the reason why I say it's the secondary is because people most of the time just want to talk in their primary differences, but it's your combination that makes you who you are.
Okay.
So if I would just stop, and let's just say I was a saver risk taker, and I would just stop and only use my primary voice, and Scott would only listen to my primary voice, He would only talk to me in saver kind of talk.
Right.
If he ignored my secondary, my risk taker, I would be constantly annoyed and I would be constantly frustrated. I wouldn't know why, but I would be. Mm-hmm. I, you know what I'm saying? If I didn't know what my money personalities were, but you thought, oh, I was primary saver and you just talked to me in saver. Hey, we can save money here. Let's save money. Let's get this coupon. Let's da, 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 da. And you were speaking to me just in my saver and you weren't taking into consideration my need for adventure, my need for different, my need for examining all sides of things. And you weren't taking that into, you'd only be getting half of me. And I would be frustrated. Mm-hmm. So that's where I say, don't just stop at the primary.
Gotcha.
Take the secondary, take your combination. And we talk about in the report that she'll receive, we talk about the combination. First, we dissect your primary, then we dissect your secondary. But then we talk about it as a combination. Do you know there's people out there, many people, about 20% of the people who've taken our assessment who are either a saver spender or a spender saver. Wow. And I mean, that is so, I mean, imagine being married to that and not knowing that about the person. Mm-hmm. And how many times you'd be so confused because you'd be like, on one hand, they're out buying a gift and giving it to somebody. And then on the other hand, they're freaking out because of the amount of money they spent.
Right, right.
I mean, oh my goodness.
So bipolar again.
Right.
And you know, it's so funny because I know that Bethany and I, before we had the money personality assessment, she used to tease me because she's a spender risk taker. So Bethany loves to shop and she's amazing at it. And we would go shopping. And then on the way home, I would be like, I can't believe we spent that much money.
It
wasn't in the plan. I didn't have that budgeted. So I would literally suck 100% of the joy out of the entire day for her on the drive home. And so she'd be looking at me like going, okay, 10 minutes ago, you were happy as a clam spending money, which I was because I'm a primary spender. But then I talked myself out of every single thing that I purchased.
Right.
So it was confusing to be married to, but now because we understand that I'm a spender security seeker, we just laugh about it. And she'll even say, oh geez, here Mr. Security Seeker comes. And I'll laugh and say, yeah, why am I stealing the joy from this? But I think that's where the money personalities also come into play. So for instance, Bethany, when we go out and shop, she knows not to take one tag off one piece of clothing that I buy because she knows I'm going to return half of it because that's just how I roll. She has never returned anything in her life. So, but that's just how we're different, but we can just laugh at that now. And that's where at the beginning of the show, when we were talking about money, we say that you can get to the point that you laugh because when you get to the point where you understand your spouse so well about money, that nothing surprises you anymore. Mm. Money surprises are the worst. Oh. Money surprises lead to the most fights that we have in our marriage. Yep. Once you take that out of your relationship, you put yourself in a position to really be able to laugh about it. And I know, I love your message to men because I think what happens often with men is that we just get put as the head of the household financially.
Yeah.
And then what happens in a lot of cases, we might not do a good job with that. And our spouse steps in and takes that away from us because they don't think they can trust us with that. And then you have friction for the next 30 or 40 years of your marriage, as where what the money personalities allow you to do is still give leadership to your house. But you know, the best leadership you can have is having a happy wife. Yeah. The best leadership you can give to your kids is a reflection of this is how a man works hard. And this is how a man and a wife work together so they're not fighting about money. So that when you're in the drive-through lane at Chick-fil-A, you're not fighting about the fact that your $37 meal was more than you expected to pay. Mm. Or when you go shopping, you're not nipping at each other because one wants to buy a nice backpack and the one says they're just going to take it to school and trash it. And suddenly you suck the joy out of that experience for your child. I mean, the money personalities has such huge, gigantic ramifications,
generational
and generational blessings that you can put onto your kids so that if they're dating somebody or they're fixing to get married to somebody and they notice that their fiance or their girlfriend is fighting with them about money all the time, they're thinking to themselves, my mom and dad never fought about money. Mm-hmm. And so not only can we take our marriages back as men and open up lines of communication and do a better job of leading our wives and being in a partnership with our wives to make sure that money decisions aren't all on just one person. But man, the generational blessing that you can give to your kids is unbelievable. We have a senior and a sophomore in high school right now. And my oldest son, who's been dating, you know, different girls for a couple of years, he always knows what he's dating and what their money personalities are. This is in high school,
right?
Because he dated somebody that was a super uptight saver. And he said, Dad, I could never date her long term because every time I try to do anything for her, she's bringing a coupon and it just drives me crazy. And so, but I'm like, I'm so glad he's figuring out what's going to work for him in a relationship. And that's the power behind these money personalities. As men, we can treat our wives and love our wives better by understanding them better. And there is no woman in the world that's going to say, please don't understand me.
Right. Right.
It's just not going to happen. And there's no kid that's going to say, man, I really miss my mom and dad fighting about money. Those were some good times. You're never going to hear that. But we have the power to change our marriages and change the way that our kids even think about money by taking 8 minutes to learn your money personalities.
You know, I got to tell you guys, this is such a blessing to me. I feel kind of even selfish that you guys are blessing me so much, because here I am, you know, thinking, okay, what a great book, easy to read and everything. I said, this is awesome. I said, but you're showing the impact of what your ministry, you guys just have recruited a groupie. I'm going to be
a pie piper.
Because what I see, I work with men in discipling and coaching men. And I realize that I must go a little bit deeper below the surface, because I never even thought about it. I said, if they're not bringing up money, I'm not even bringing it up as an issue and talking about it. And what you guys are showing here is just you're giving a wide view of this, not a narrow view, to say, hey, have you really thought, is there a money issue related to this? What do they say in the Bible? The Bible refers to money more than almost any other topic in the Bible.
You know what? I love that you said that, because what's the verse that a lot of people refer to? You know, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah,
all
evil.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing I would just want to mention about that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But the love that he's talking about is phileo love, kind of like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. He's talking about the relationship love. He's talking about when you put money over a relationship, that is the root of all evil.
Wow.
If money is evil, we're all in trouble, because we touch it every day, you know? So it's not the money.
Right.
And it's not the, people interpret that as just, you know, I'm loving money so much and I love it more than people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You're loving it more than people. You're putting money over relationships. Don't do that. That's what he's saying. And that's why he refers to money more than 2,500 times in the Bible.
Yeah.
More than faith and prayer to combine.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Because he knew, he knew that money was going to trump relationships and be over relationships. And he doesn't want it that way. And that is the root of all evil. So now we have a tool to be able to reverse that and make it be all about relationships.
See, that's what I love about what you guys are doing, and why I say it's such a blessing to me to hear this and to talk to you guys today about this, because you're changing the game. You're changing the paradigm by how we communicate with each other about money. You know, I couldn't wait to ask you that question about how can you make this thing fun? Oh, I can see it now very easily. When you understand your partner better and you know how to communicate in terms, you know, we hear, you know, you guys heard of the five love languages, and that's like the talk of everything. But you guys, I think this is up there with that. Not only how you give love, but how you communicate about it.
Right. Well, imagine imagine the leg up we would all have, the both of us, if we had known our spouse's money personalities and their love language.
Right. Can you imagine? Wow.
Imagine the power of that. It gives me chills
just to think about it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
That's why I said you added years to my marriage just now. I'm like, this is incredible.
One of the things that we love about these money personalities too is that remember when you're first dating and you would just spend hours talking about your future and dreaming, talking about your kids and all of those things with none of that happening. Because I find that the Lord takes us on some different paths, all good, but challenging at times. But the thing that we love in working with the money personalities and couples is that it gives them the ability to dream different. It gives us the ability to dream different. So Bethany and I, we dream about retirement. We talk about, hey, wouldn't it be great to live here? And what would you like about that? And what would I like about that? And Bethany came to me with an idea about 3 years ago. And she said, how awesome would it be for the first year of our retirement if we took 2 months and lived in four different places so that we could really engage with the culture, we could really engage with the city, and you pick two and I pick two. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds miserable to some people, but that is right up our alley. So as we visit places, we think, well, could this be a place that we'd live for 2 months in that first year of retirement? And it's given us so much to think about and dream about and save for that it's added some excitement and some spice and some fun back into our relationship. And think about all the couples that are arguing about money right now. Now, think about all those couples, how better their time would be spent if they were dreaming together right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they were talking about, hey, is the Lord going to send us on this mission? Are we going to go to Africa for 2 months and serve in an orphanage? Or are we? Those conversations are so different than, you idiot, you bounced a check.
Right. Right.
And what it does for the relationship is it molds you. It brings you together. And it's all based on the fact this is the way God intended us to work with our money in the first place. God intended us for us to couples as to come together. Iron sharpens iron. I mean, all the verses that say two are better than one. When two of you are gathered and you're praying, my spirit's there with you. I mean, the reality is that's what he intended marriage to be like. We've just done an amazing job of messing it up. And so if we can give people tools, and if you can learn from the Palmers who have made every mistake in the book, you can have a successful marriage. I guarantee you. And so we're just so excited, and we love ministries like yours where you're just calling out men to say, hey, how do we take our house back? Right. How do we become better dads? How do we become better husbands? How do we become better leaders in our church? When you take money friction out of your relationship, you are radically changing your relationship.
I just see, just even in communicating with our children about, like you said, with your sons and everything, there's just so many benefits. And guys, we're already running out of time, I tell you, man. Oh, my goodness. You guys are obviously professionals at this because you cover so much ground without me even having to ask you certain questions. But I don't want to let you guys out of here without doing the man up questions. I don't even care if we go long on this because I can't wait to hear what you guys have to share. And basically, I told you guys when you came on that the man up questions, just five basic questions, start with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And all it requires is your brutal honesty, in which you guys would not have a problem with that at all. So my question is, are you ready?
We're ready.
All right. And we'll be right back with my guests, Scott and Bethany Palmer, as they take on the man up questions. If you're like most men in our audience, you're committed to becoming the man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be. But the truth of the matter is, you struggle with either finding the time or knowing where to start. That's exactly why I created the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, to give you a step-by-step, easy-to-follow guide to spiritually leading your family, even if you're a new believer. Now, you can't buy the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, but you can get it for free by signing up for our free e-newsletter. By signing up, you will be notified anytime fresh content is added to my site, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date on the latest information. Now, to get your free copy of the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, just visit realmenconnect.com and simply enter your name and email address on the form on the page. So if you're tired of trying to figure it all out and fit it all in as the spiritual leader, provider, and protector of your family, don't miss your chance to discover how to be the man God called and created you to be. Sign up today at realmenconnect.com. Welcome back, Mighty Warriors. I'm with my guests, Scott and Bethany Palmer, who are the authors of Five Money Personalities. And I tell you, they've been such a blessing to me personally. And I know I can't wait to apply this stuff. I'm telling you, I'm chomping at the bit. That's why I'm going to take the personality test. convince my wife to do it, and I'm going to change the way I communicate with her. But guys, I want to get personal with these man up questions, and either one of you can jump in because I know we're pressed for time. So either one of you can take on the question, and we're going to start with the first one, and the letter starts with M, and it stands for mistake. What mistake did you learn the most from when it came to marriage and money?
I think unrealistic expectations was my biggest mistake. And so I can't put my personal expectations and what I view as the best way. I can't put that onto Bethany. So I think I spent the first 3-4 years trying to convince her that I was right about everything. And don't get me wrong, I was. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kidding. But, you know, my mistake was expecting her to feel the same way that I felt and have the same opinions of about certain things in our marriage. And that did not work out. And we've rectified that.
Absolutely. Well, I'll take the next one.
Yeah. And Bethany, you're right ahead of me. I'll say, Bethany, I'm going to give you the next one. The A stands for attitude. If there was one attitude you can change in couples when it comes to money, what would it be?
It would definitely be acceptance. Mm-hmm. Acceptance of the other person. You know, God made each of us different, and accepting our differences and then now having a label to understand your differences. Accept it. You're not going to change them. Accept it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bethany, I'm going to bring you back in for the end because of your money personality, which is being a risk taker, your secondary, right? Being a risk taker, because I don't want Scott to answer because he's going to play it safe. And so the N stands for next. What's the next big thing you would love to see you and Scott do for God in the area of this ministry about dealing with money if you couldn't fail?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. No question about it. Reduce the divorce rate by 10%. That is our passion. That is our BHAG. We know that, especially if I could do it and no doubt about it, it would happen. Mm-hmm. That's an easy one. Absolutely. Let's make it happen.
All right. That is great. Now, Scott, I'll let you answer this one. The U represents understand. And when you guys were earlier on as a couple, what was the one thing you didn't understand then that you understand better now as a man when it comes to money?
You know, I think for me, it is that I didn't understand that both of our needs had to be met with money. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that just as important it was for me to have a plan and have all the life insurance taken care of and all the investment advice on our side taken care of, I needed to understand that it was just as important for Bethany to have flexibility and go out and spend money and do the thing that she loves to do. Once I understood that, oh man, did that make our relationship a whole lot better.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. You know, and Bethany, I'm going to let you answer the last question, which I think is perfect asking a woman because they'll give a more honest answer. All right. And the last letter starts with P and it stands for problem. And even as a great couple that you guys are, what is the problem that you guys still struggle with and when it comes to money?
I honestly, the difference between my risk taker and Scott's security seeker, it will always be a problem. It will always be, now we've accepted it.
Right.
We work with it, but it will always, always be there. And I have to really remember his security seeker because I'm an idea person. Risk takers are idea person. Not that we're necessarily going to implement them all, but I mean, I just love to think of ideas and we could do it this way and we could do it that way. You know, problem solver. That's just who I am. And I just have to remember, like, I'll come in and talk to Scott kind of spur of the moment and I'm stressing him out and he doesn't. And I'm like, oh God, why did I do that? You know, I need to just kind of temper it, A, but B, I need to say, honey, I've got some just ideas. Let's talk. We're not going to do them. It's just some fun ideas. And whenever I do that, he's much more open. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes still spring things on him and it's just, you know, I can just see it in his eyes like, oh my goodness. So, you know, it will always be there. It's never going away. So it's constantly learning new ways to work with it instead of against it.
Wow. Well, great job, guys. That was awesome. You guys, thank you for being so transparent and honest with our guests, with our listeners. I really appreciate that. I knew you guys would do a great job on these man-up questions. So you guys knocked it out the park. That is awesome. And believe it or not, we've reached the end of our show. Guys, don't worry about it. We'll be back to do it again next week with a new guest and new insights and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. But guys, please help me in thanking our guests, Scott and Bethany Palmer, for joining us today. And guys, thank you for being so gracious with your time. What a blessing.
You are so welcome. And we are so excited to put together a special page just for your listeners. And they can get that assessment and some other wonderful resources at themoneycouple.com/realmen. So please be sure to visit us there. And we're just excited to engage and help in the best way that we can.
Thanks for having us.
You know, and I told you guys are professionals. You're the first guest I ever had on the show that I didn't have to ask. How can we find out more? How can we get what you guys answered the question before I even asked? That is awesome. And what we're going to do, we're going to put that in the show notes. And guys, you heard it from Bethany. It's themoneycouple.com /realmen. They have something special just for our listeners. So please check out that page. And I tell you, I'm getting ready to go jump on their website and take the assessment. So I'm excited about that. Again, thank you guys for joining us. Please do us a small favor. Well, I say small, but it's a huge favor for our ministry. And this is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go over to iTunes and rate the program for us, because it's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. Guys, you've made us the number one podcast on iTunes for Christian men. And we want you to keep spreading the love and sharing the love. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be that man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in his grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.
Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast, and we're now the number one radio podcast on iTunes for Christian men. If this podcast has blessed you in any way and you'd like to help us continue to bless and transform the lives of even more husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, please prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. Just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the donate button. And may God bless your faithful giving.